Today we're in Matthew chapter 3, and typically on Sunday that we have a baptism, we have a message on baptism. I do want to mention that down at the river we'll hear the testimony of Taylor Raines and Josh Kukta and Rhonda Stone. They'll tell their testimony about when they were saved and what God has done in their life. And we want to make everybody know that baptism is not about getting saved. Baptism is a identification with Jesus Christ for those who have already been saved. So we'll look forward to that after the service. Matthew chapter 3, we have the account of the baptism. John the Baptist coming on the scene, and the baptism of many of the Jews, and then the baptism of Jesus. And since we've been having a series on the Lord Jesus, I thought we would emphasize this morning the message of Jesus' baptism. What was his baptism all about? Now, in the Bible, there's a insight into what baptism is about. Now, unsaved people who aren't saved, and churches that don't preach the Bible, they have a false message about baptism. They say that baptism washes away your sins. Some say baptism gives you washes away original sin. Some say baptism gets you saved. Some say that baptism brings you the new birth. All these are not in the Bible, but they're commonly held beliefs. And they're held by people who aren't saved because they don't know how to be saved. And so they've taken something in the Bible that they don't understand and made it say something it didn't say. But as you know, there are two pretty big, there is a another aspect of baptism. And certainly, a baptism in the Bible always follows for people. It follows after they were saved. That's why we have people give a testimony before they get saved, so people know that this has nothing to do with being saved. This morning, we are going to look at Jesus' baptism. And as you look at Jesus' baptism, you begin to see an aspect of baptism that is not normally understood. And it's kind of delightful as you think about Jesus' baptism, as we look at it. I think it will should give you some good information. It will reinforce what the Bible says about believers' baptism, but I think it will also encourage you. Now, we're going to first of all look at the context, Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist is preaching, and his purpose was to prepare the Jewish people for their Messiah. But the problem is the Jewish people figured that because they were Jews, that they were a part of the family of God. And John the Baptist came and, you might say, kind of shook up the system, because he said, no, you are not the children of God, you're not in the family of God because you're Jews. You don't have a special break here. He said he came with the message of repentance. Repentance. No one can get into the kingdom of God if they have not repented. Repented. And so John the Baptist came, and it says in Matthew 3:2, his message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we'll get a little insight into that. When couple things, we'll get insight into that. Verse 5, and it says, and went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Oh! Confessing their sins. So, they went to the river, and they were going to be baptized, and guess what? They confessed their sins. Now, the people going to get baptized today, they're going to be confessing that they were lost sinners. And that they were on their way to hell. This is pretty shocking news. The Jews, they're the people of God. John Baptist said, nope, you're not the people of God. People of God only enter his kingdom by repentance. To see that you're a sinner, that your sin has a penalty, and that penalty of sin is hell. Wages of sin is death. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God, including Jews. And we can put it in this context, including Baptists. Including everybody. And so, the Bible says, some religious leaders who figured, ho ho, okay, I'm a religious leader, I'm good enough. Let's kind of go along with this thing. And they came to get baptized, and John the Baptist says, oh no you don't. Oh no you don't. And he tells them that. Verse 7. He said, O generation of vipers. You know what's a viper? Creepy, crawly thing that stings you. You know? Call them vipers. Snakes. Deceivers. But I don't think they liked the compliment. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who told you that you were on your way to hell? They didn't think they were on their way to hell. And he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, if you haven't repented and your life doesn't show fruits of repentance, don't come to me to get baptized. Why? Because two things. Number one, this baptism is about repentance. This baptism is about publicly declaring that you have changed your mind. You used to be going that direction, and now you're going in this direction. You used to practice these sins, but now you've turned from those sins, and you're going to follow God. Okay, so notice what it says, verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Oh, wait a minute, John, we have Abraham. You know what I mean? We have Abraham. Abraham is our father. Abraham had all the promises of God, therefore we are saved. And he said, don't say that you're children of Abraham. And in between the lines, he's saying, because the children of Abraham It's not physical children of Abraham. It's spiritual children of Abraham. Jesus said you must be born again. You're born the physical children of Adam and need to be born spiritually into God's family. But notice he said, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. They thought they had an inside track to God. He says, no, you don't have an inside track. God wants real children. And if you don't want to be his real children, you want to just hang on to your religion, just want you to know that God, he can raise up children of unto himself out of these stones. People who know him, who serve him, who obey him. And so we find all of this. And in the context, he says, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now you have to know the English language and you have to know the Greek language to understand the Bible. The word unto translates a Greek word, eis, whose emphasis is identification. Identification. He says, you can't publicly identify as having repented if in your life you don't show the reality of repentance. Now, a lot of people don't get that. This is not magic. This isn't magic. No magic in this at all. None. No magic. It's a public identification of a reality that's in your life already. So the key word, principle, is identification. And there is a great history of Baptists who have gotten that wrong. The Bible is our book, not even Baptist tradition. Unto repentance. Now, we're going to talk about Jesus getting baptized. And we're going to talk about why did Jesus get baptized. Okay? So he came to John to get baptized. And John said, wait a minute! Why are you coming to get baptized by me? I should be baptized by you. In other words, you're the big guy. You're the big shot. I'm the little shot. And Jesus said, no, suffer or allow it to be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now that's a big word. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is speaks of that which is right or our duty to man and our duty to God. Our duty to man and our duty to God. He says, well, this is our duty. This is God's duty that we have to do. We have to fulfill what God wants to be done. And he said, okay. God wants us to be done, then we're doing it. And so the Bible tells us, verse 16, then Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so here goes Jesus. John and Jesus go into the water, and John baptizes Jesus. And he comes up out of the water, the Bible says. He went up straightway out of the water, and the Bible says, the Spirit of God, like a dove, descended on him. And they heard a voice, the voice of the Father. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him, in whom I am well pleased. Wow, what a great testimony of the triune God. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. It's not like the United Pentecostals who say Jesus is the Father, and Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost. No, you have all three. You have the Father, you have the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all there at one time. Now, let's talk about this for a little bit. Why did Jesus get baptized? We're going to use the key word here. We're going to use the word identification. First of all, because it was in God's plan, he was going to identify himself as the Messiah by water baptism. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It tells us God's plan. Now the Bible doesn't tell us about the fact that God gave revelation to John the Baptist and told him this, but it did happen. Doesn't tell us when it happened, but it tells us it did happen. That God, the Father, came to John the Baptist. And this is what God said to John the Baptist. Verse 30. Well, let's get the context. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, here we have the eternal existence of Jesus. Because physically, who was born first, John the Baptist or Jesus? John the Baptist was born first. Jesus was born after John the Baptist. But here John the Baptist says, he's preferred before me because he was before me. Why? Because Jesus, when he was born, that was only when he took on human flesh. But before that, he was God the Son in eternity. Right? He was before me. And John Baptist is declaring his eternality, his deity, in that little statement. And then he said, and I knew him not. I didn't know that he was the Son of God. Why? Because his glory was robed with human flesh, and his mother who bore him in a virgin state was a relative of mine. I didn't know this was the Messiah. I kind of thought maybe so. I heard some things, but I didn't know it 100% for sure. He says, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. So God said, okay, through your baptism, John, the Messiah is going to be revealed. And John bare record and said, I saw the Spirit descending up from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon me. And I knew him not, but he that sent me, that's God, the Father, he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So God the Father made it clear, John, you're going to baptize. I'm sending you to baptize. And the person that you baptize and you see the Holy Spirit descending upon him, that's the Messiah. And you'll know 100% for sure that's the Messiah. And so John's baptism had a purpose. And Jesus in his baptism understood that his baptism was to identify himself as the Messiah. For him to be identified as, now was he Messiah? Yeah, he's the Messiah. Yeah, he was the Messiah. Did baptism make him the Messiah? Nope. He already was. Did baptism make him the Son of God? Nope. He already was. Right? Baptism was the means whereby he would publicly be identified as the Messiah. Publicly identified as the Messiah. Huh. You see, God has a plan of doing things. And God's plan was that Jesus would be known as the Messiah by being baptized. Because at his baptism, the Spirit of God was going to descend upon him. And the Father was going to say, "This is my beloved Son." So, yeah, there was a element here of obedience, but the real issue was identification. And so Jesus was baptized to identify himself as the Messiah, according to God's plan. Okay. Now, secondly, this is not quite as clear, but when Jesus was baptized, there was a prophetic element. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in the context, it says, now that person who's a Messiah, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's going to give the Holy Ghost. Who's he going to give the Holy Ghost to? He's going to give the Holy Ghost to those that believe. Okay? And why is he going to give them the Holy Ghost? Because he's going to die, and he's going to be buried, and he's going to rise again from the dead. And when he rises again from the dead, ascends into heaven, he is going to send the Holy Spirit, isn't he? And so John chapter 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which ye have received, and herein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. Now here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that the third day he rose, according to the Scriptures. Now, so the gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And the book of Romans tells us in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus, into identification with Christ," there's the word, "we're baptized in identification with his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in identification with his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So the Bible makes it very clear that baptism in the New Testament was a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that to be so, because when a person is baptized, they go all the way under the water. And do they breathe when they're under the water? They better not. But you know what? That's a picture that you're burying a dead man. You know, when you put a person in the grave, and I think I'll probably go in the grave someday, unless you know, I die at sea or something, or the Lord comes back. But, you know, I think that when I get buried, I'm going to be dead. Okay? And I got it all planned out how it's going to happen. Okay? Not how I'm going to die, but the funeral. Okay? So, what do? You bury dead people. Put them all the way under the ground. Right? That's a picture of death and burial. And Jesus died and he was buried. And you take that person from the grave, that watery grave, and you raise them up out of the watery grave. That's a picture of resurrection. Baptism in the Bible is a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it says. It's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection. And the focus of it is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was baptized, he was prophetically proclaiming the gospel, that he was going to die for our sins, and that he was going to be buried, and that he was going to raise again from the dead. You know what? That was prophetic. It was a picture. He was identifying himself with the gospel of what he was going to do. What a wonderful thing. A picture of the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, isn't it amazing that all you really need to know in order to be saved is that Jesus died, the Son of God died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again from the grave, he's a living Savior. And as a sinner, you can believe on him and be saved. Isn't that amazing? You know, I was raised in the Presbyterian Church. They taught all sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, they taught a smorgasbord of stuff. You know, they taught me that Jesus died and that he was buried and he rose again. I'm glad they taught me that. They also taught me that, you know, if you're good enough, you'll make it to heaven. That's not in the Bible. They also taught me that everybody goes to heaven. That's not in the Bible. They also taught me that whoever you believe in, that's God. That's not in the Bible. But you know what? I remembered one thing. My mind rejected the rest. I remembered Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And when Guy came under conviction of my sin and realized I was a lost sinner and I was on my way to hell, the message of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, came right back to my mind. Ah, Jesus Christ died for me. And I turned to him. Well, there's the wonderful gospel. Isn't that amazing? Oh, isn't that amazing? That's all it takes to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amazing. And here Jesus identifying himself, prophetically identifying himself with the gospel right there in his baptism. But thirdly, and this is really precious, when Jesus was baptized, he was identifying with the people of God. He was identifying with the people of God. Now, think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Here's John the Baptist. He's preaching. And you know what? The Bible says, out of the mouths and babes and of mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. It was the low people. It was the common people. It was the ordinary people. It was the sinners. They believed the message. That's right. We are sinners. We are sinners. And we need to be ready to meet God. We will repent. We will repent and we will believe on this one who is coming. And they identified themselves as the repentant ones. The ones who saw that they weren't children of God. They were lost. They're heathen, even though they were religious. And that they had turned from their sins and they were looking for the kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. You know what? They identified themselves with that message, with the coming of Christ, with the need of new birth, their repentance by being baptized. Now, guess what? The big shots. You know, the sophisticated people. You know what I mean? The sophisticated people. They says, we know better than that. We're not going to lower ourselves to come under the influence of this crazy preacher. We're not going to admit that we're sinners. Hey, we're upstanding citizens. We are the leaders of this religious country. We are truly the people of God. Huh. Those people. Those people. Oh, there's two groups of Jews. One group that had seen themselves as sinners and repented and publicly identified with John the Baptist and God's kingdom. And the other group said, nah. Mm-mm. Nah, we don't need that. We are the Jewish people. Not much different than today, is it? Not much different than today. You talk to people about Jesus today. Oh, we're just fine. We've always believed in God. You know, we're just fine people. How sad. How sad. I remember talking to a man one day. He had cancer. Terminal cancer. I got a phone call. Pastor Roberts, would you go visit this fella? He's got terminal cancer. And he's going to die soon. And isn't far from the church there to go visit him. And I said, sure, we'll go. And so Mr. Gardepi and I went over to talk to him. I can't remember his name. We talked to him about sin. We talked about hell, talked about Jesus, how Jesus died on the cross, and that you couldn't earn your way to heaven. It's a free gift. And that Jesus Christ is willing to save anybody who will come to him. And this man was right there. I mean, he's going to die. He did die not long after that. And he knew he was going to die. He's under chemo and you know all that. He knew. I mean, he knew. He just had a couple weeks to go. And he was right there. And I said, wouldn't you like to accept Christ right now? And you could just see him. Yeah. Yeah, I would. And then his mother, no, Johnny, he's a good boy. He always was a good boy. He always believed in God. He's not a sinner. And that was it. Mama said Johnny couldn't get saved because he was good. He didn't need to be saved. That ended it. It ended it. And guess what? As far as I know, Johnny never got saved because his mama said he was a good boy. How sad. That's the way it was with John the Baptist. But you know what? Here's this group of people. They admitted they were sinners. They turned from their sin. They admitted that being religious wasn't good enough. That they were on their way to hell, and they repented and said, you know, we want to be a part of God's real kingdom, His spiritual kingdom. And they publicly declared it by being baptized. Oh, and I'm sure people were laughing at them and mocking them. Oh, what's wrong with you people? And here comes Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Which of the two groups of people were His people? Which of the two groups of people were the members of His kingdom? Yeah. Those are nobodies who believe the message. And you know what? When Jesus was baptized, He was identifying Himself publicly, unashamedly, with those people. Unashamedly identifying Himself with them. His people! What does Jesus think about His people? I tell you what the Bible says, what He thinks about His people. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says that the church of God, which He loved and purchased with His own blood. He loved the church and purchased it with His own blood. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? Did you? Yeah, man. Jesus loves His people. He's not ashamed of His people. He loves His people. I think of that verse in Romans chapter 1 where it is written to the people who are beloved of God. Isn't that amazing? Those sinners who repent and turn to Jesus, receive measure, they are the beloved of God. You won't have time to turn there, but I'm thinking of that great passage in Numbers 24, where Balak hired Balaam to curse the people of God. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 5, God speaks to Balaam and He says, look it. Those are the tents of Israel. I love my people. I love my people. Read about it in Numbers chapter 24. It's a precious thing. Balak hires Balaam to curse the people of God. And then Balaam goes to God and God says, wait a minute. You aren't cursing those people. I love them. I love those people. Those are my people. You know, Jesus, when He was baptized, He identified Himself not as only as the Messiah. And not only identified Himself as the one who's going to die prophetically by His baptism, but He identified Himself with the people of God. You know, identification is a big thing. You know that? You know, identification is a big thing. You know, if I put on my farm hat you'd say, must be a farmer. Only a farmer would wear that hat. And by the way, it's John Deere hat, okay? I had a better one that was a Lemke seed cord hat that I wore. War for 20 years. I don't know what happened to it. Okay? Well, you know, I could wear this tie. And this tie is from the Promised Land. You know, this tie is a Welsh tie. You know? That's from the Promised Land, Wales. Okay? And I just got to wear this tie and everybody knows, hey, bye. He's a Welshman. He's not ashamed of being a Welshman. You know? Okay? Well, you know, I could I could put on this hat, you know. And you know, oh boy, he's kind of professional, huh? Maybe you'd say, good looking, huh? I was in Wales, and there's a really fancy hat. And Rachel says, you ought to buy that. And I says, no, I'm not going to buy that. Okay. You know, I could wear this. You know? And he'd say, hey, there's a cowboy preacher, you know? You know? You know, it doesn't take much to identify yourself, does it? Huh? That's a big thing. Baptism is identification with Jesus. And isn't it amazing? Jesus was unashamed to identify himself with us. Jesus was not ashamed to identify himself with us. Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Does he love us? Yeah. Was he ashamed to identify with poor lost sinners who had repented and become his part of his kingdom? No, he wasn't. And aren't you glad that Jesus was unashamed of us? You know, a story was told me recently. There's this Amish girl. And this Amish girl decided that as she was traveling on this bus, wherever she's going, she didn't want to look like an Amish girl. And so she changed her Amish clothes or other clothes. But as she was on this bus, she observed people. And she was shocked. She says, you know, people are totally unashamed to identify themselves as in sin. She says, you know, I see girls flaunting their body, and they're not ashamed of it. I see rebels. Not ashamed of it. I see people smoking. You know, outright smoking. Not ashamed of it. I hear people swearing. Right out in public. Cursing. Not ashamed of it. They're not ashamed to identify themselves with unrighteousness. And she says to herself, then why should I be ashamed to put on my Amish clothes and identify with righteousness? Why should I be ashamed to identify myself with righteousness? When the world is unashamed to identify themselves with unrighteousness. And so it is. Should we be ashamed of identifying ourselves with Jesus? You know, I heard the story, I've told you the story, there's a famous church in the area. I was a brand new Christian. They had a church meeting. And I sat out in the car till it was over, and I came back after the meeting. They came back out of the membership meeting and says, "Well, what did you do in that membership meeting?" "Well, we took the name Baptist off of the church because we didn't want to get our church be associated with the stigma of righteousness." Oh, really? Ashamed of Jesus. Ashamed of Jesus. Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glorious shine through endless age. Ashamed of Jesus, soon or far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds its beam of light divine over this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus. You know, God is calling us to be unashamed of Jesus. Unashamed of Jesus. Unashamed of righteousness. Unashamed of truth. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't ashamed of us? He identified himself as our Savior. Not ashamed to call us his own. There. When he submitted himself to baptism by John the Baptist. What a wonderful thing it is for the people of God who've been saved to say, "I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of righteousness. I'm not ashamed that I want to live for God the rest of my life. I'm not ashamed of it." Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, there's something that goes with it, though. I remember being in Jerusalem. And I was kind of awed by the Orthodox Jews. You know, they have their black hats on and the black coats, and they're all, you know, and you know that they're Orthodox Jews. I took a walk, walked a few miles. I walked into the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem. And I was shocked. I was brought to reality because I saw a lottery booth where they sell lottery tickets. And I saw a line standing at the lottery booth of Orthodox Jews smoking cigarettes. And all of a sudden, I said, "It's just a sham. It's just a sham. It's nothing real to it." You know, when you identify yourself as something, people expect something, don't they? Right? And that's what identification is all about. And Jesus said, the Bible says, even so, we should walk in newness of life. Jesus was unashamed to identify himself with us. We should be unashamed to identify with him. And in a simple word, that's what believer's baptism is about. It's not saving, but it's declaring our unashamed love for Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you today for the truth of your word. Thank you for the picture that is clear. And we are amazed today, every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are amazed. We are amazed at your mercy, but we are also amazed as we think about how you identified yourself with your people. In believers, in baptism. Identifying with believers. We thank you that, Lord, You were unashamed of us on the cross as well. You died for us. You took our sins. We are so glad that you loved us on Calvary's cross. We're so glad that you love us even today in your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, that you so loved sinners even today that you call them to him, to yourself, for forgiveness, for new life, for the new birth. And now, Lord, I pray even as we have a baptism down the river, that, Lord, that the very issue of publicly, unashamedly identifying ourselves with Jesus, the Son of God, unashamed identifying ourselves with a people who want to do right, who want to be different, who want to follow you in everything, and not ashamed to be even ridiculed or mocked by a world that doesn't understand. We thank you, Lord, for that great privilege. Now bless, Lord, this day and even the baptism to follow. While our heads are bowed, you're here today. I wonder, you say, you know, you're talking about being born again. I haven't been born again. I can't point to a time in my life that I was saved. And I realize that that's the need of my life. And as we close the service, you'd say, Pastor, would you remember me in secret prayer? Because I realize that that's the need of my heart. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand wherever it might be. Perhaps you're here today and you're a believer and really God has spoken to you about publicly being unashamed of Jesus. And the Lord has spoken to you about your need to publicly, as a believer, to identify yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. And you realize that is exactly who you are. You are totally unashamed of Jesus. And you're ready to make that big step in your Christian life. And say, Pastor, just want to raise my hand to tell you, pray for me as I consider this most important thing about following the Lord in believer's baptism. Anyone here? Lord, we thank you for this great privilege now. And we thank you for the Savior who died for us on Calvary's cross. Bless, Lord, as we go down to the river now. And these who love you, follow you in believer's baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.